everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Power of Words. Thanks for stopping by.
Hi, I'm Jenny Starr. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm the health and wellness specialist for the Kansas City Public Library.
And I'm Sandra Wallace. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm the director of mental health programs at Jewish Family Services of Greater Kansas City. I'm glad to be back doing a program again with Jenny.
Oh, thanks, Sandra. Sandra and I have worked together on mental health programming for several years, and we're pleased to bring you our latest project where we talk with community members and connect stories through words that matter.
We're excited to have our guests share a little bit about their mental health journeys and their love for Kansas City. We've asked each of our guests to share an example of how specific words have empowered, changed, encouraged, or strengthened their mental health and wellness.
We hope one or two of the words from our conversation today allow you to connect to words that matter to you.
Hey, Jenny, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Sandra. How are you this Monday?
Yes, it is a Monday. Doing pretty well. I understand that you were at a conference last week for some of the work that you do. Is it pretty good?
Yes, I was really fortunate. Last week, I was in Atlanta, Georgia at the Society for Public Health Education Conference. Really exciting. I'm a health educator by training, and I got to meet my public health hero at the valet stand.
Nice.
She's like a rock star. Her name is Dr. Kamara Jones. Look her up. She's amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Her expertise is teaching anti-racism education, but she's a physician and an epidemiologist. She's just amazing. She's such a rock star. People were standing in line to take their picture with her after her program. But yeah. I'm like too nervous to do that. So I didn't do it. But then I ran into her at the valet stand and made some silly conversation with her.
Oh my gosh. And too bad it wasn't the time to be real, right? Like,
right. Then I could have said, hey, I need to take my picture with you for this app. Yeah, I didn't make it to the Be Real app. Most of my Be Real in Atlanta was like, well, one was in a session and one was at dinner. But for those of you who don't know about Be Real, Sandra, do you want to share what Be Real is?
Oh, yeah.
It's our world now.
It is. It's just another social media app that we all need on our devices. But yeah, I started using it about a year ago. Just my kids are over at college right now. And so I don't get to see them every day anymore. And so I just said, I'm just going to join this so that I can just see your face every day. So at a particular time of the day, somebody or we all get a text at the same time that says, it's time to be real. And so then you just snap a picture on your phone. And so then I just can always just kind of keep track of that opportunity to just bring that extra smile to the day when you see the people you care about. And Jenny, I'm thrilled that we follow each other too, because, you know, that opportunity to get to know each other a little bit better and, you know, enjoy each other's journeys together.
So, I am too. And on your Be Real this weekend, I noticed a certain basketball game was being watched.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it was so close, Sandra.
I know. And we just got to enjoy the ride that we had and, you know, we really are very grateful for as far as we got into the Elite Eight, but you know, they'll be next year. So it's always opportunity to build that resilience and build those, responses that help us have really strong mental health, which is maybe a nice little segue into our guest. I think sometimes sports is a space that really does build a lot of mental health skills for a lot of folks. And just as the power of words, you know, one of the quotes from last weekend's game was, we can accomplish anything with people we love. And that was from a coach.
I love that.
He just happens to be the coach that I follow in NCAA. And I just thought, you know what? Those kids work hard for him because they know he loves them.
Huge.
It's kind of like a perfect example of the power of words and what they can do for us.
So. Yes, that's so huge. Well, I'm so excited to introduce our guest today, who also, I think, really demonstrates what you're talking about with love. So our guest today is Claire Hollander, and she is the Central Youth Services Manager. And If you have brought your children to the Central Library on the second floor, you may know Claire. She's an amazing youth librarian. And talk about loving. She loves people. It comes out of her pores. And so I'm so excited to have you today, Claire. Welcome.
Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate your kind words. It's very sweet.
Well, it's just really true. It's really true. I've known Claire since, gosh, I guess since I started at the library in 2019. But can you tell us a little bit about how long you've been at the library and a little bit about what you do at the library?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I was hired in 2006 as the youth services, what was the title? Youth librarian and assistant branch manager at our Northeast location. So I was doing programming for kids, programming for tweens, programming for teens, and then also, helping with the day-to-day management of the branch. And then I did that for about 2.5 years and transferred over here and lost the management piece of it, thankfully. And I just was a librarian. Just a librarian, just working with kids. I was so thrilled to come over here because this floor is dedicated to youth only. And it's really my strength, my forte, my love. I do love adults. I love the Northeast. I love the people in the Northeast. But a lot of times, that job, my duties, I had to deal more with adults than with kids. And so being over here has been really great. So since 2008, I've been working here and slowly making my way up the ladder at the library. And now I'm the manager, and I have two full-time librarians who help me. I still do programming, as you mentioned, the story times, and then, one-offs here and there. So.
Yes. And one of my favorite things ever happened during the early stages of the pandemic when we were kind of home. Claire would do these really cool science things on our YouTube channel. Please go look at this, everyone. If you're having a bad day, there is a video about an ant farm. And it's Claire, and she's putting the ants in the ant farm. And, ants do what ants want to do. And so it's just the most magical, fun, happy
Oh,
video. All the ants made it in, I think.
yeah, that was really fun. It
It
was
was
fun
so
doing
fun.
those experiments during the pandemic and sort of feeling kind of connected to people, maybe. But
Well, I just remember I've watched it so many times, Claire, because I truly have used it as a thing to help brighten my day when I'm like just need something happy. So thank you so much for that.
oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about the words that you're sharing with us today?
Sure, I was trying to find the source of the quote, and the quote is, "Words were invented by the heart to rid itself of what it no longer needs." And how that was serving me at the time, after I graduated from college in those first 5 or 6, 10 years, whatever, up until my 30s, was I had developed a writing practice to help with my mental health process. And that was kind of the directive that I used to help clear the clutter out of my mind. And so, like, I was kind of interpreting it in the beginning, I don't want to offend anybody here, but I would say it's a general, it was definitely true for me in my 20s. High anxiety coming out of college. What am I supposed to do? A lot of pressure, a lot of stress that I did all the things you're supposed to do and in terms of exercise and all of those things, but also the writing became part of my mental health practice that I have maintained all these years. And then fast forward into the early 90s when I discovered this book by Julia Cameron called The Artist's Way. And at that time, I had been pursuing a path personally where I wanted to be a writer. And I was doing writing, and I was in a writer's group. And when this book was published, somebody got a hold of it and said, "Hey, let's do this." Actually, the author calls it like recovery from creative writer's block. And she uses a lot of language that you're going to find like in the recovery literature. Like she even quotes the big book in Alcoholics Anonymous. And she's coming from a background where she had gone through a 12-step program. And so she sort of makes this book sort of a 12-step program week by week.
Interesting.
And every week you're recovering a different sense. You know, like for instance, the first week is recovering a sense of safety, and that, you know, you're blocked because there's some kind of fear there. And then, you know, it's pretty fascinating. Yeah, recovering a sense of identity.
Really fascinating. But this is so fascinating to me to think about that idea of the structure that she used for this book. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Fascinating. Yeah, and it was really cool. I wanted to thank you, Jenny, because this has been, you know how you do things. Like, obviously, I did not become a writer, but this book really informed a lot of the way I am today and helped me to overcome the blocks that I was experiencing in my life overall. Like, you know, adults don't play ukulele, you know, those kinds of things that, you know, I was one of the things is your internal critic, you know, that the reason you're blocked is because you're so you're judging yourself. So being able to go through and realize, you know, that I was thwarting myself with my own internal dialogue, it was super helpful. And the group fell apart. I was talking to a friend yesterday, telling her I was going to be doing this. And she's like, oh my God, when I got to week four, I was like, to hell with this.
too much.
That's where the group fell apart, actually. And week four, the recovery is, and I knew it was so funny when she said, I knew what she was going to say. In recovering a sense of integrity, the big assignment for that week, you can't read anything. You cannot do any other media, no TV. And this was, of course, in the 90s. So what can you imagine today telling people? Right. Yeah, put your phone down. No. Ooh. So just not you are the creator of content this week. You are the person. Like, what do you do when you're not taking in other people's stuff?
Wow.
The whole, yeah, pretty powerful. And a lot of people, like in my writers group, they were like, I can't do it. So I did do it. And I was going to go look for my notebook that I used as a workbook through this whole process, you know, and getting ready for this conversation. But I got to tell you, I didn't want to go down that. I thought it would take a lot of time. I know it'll take a lot of time, and I want to do it when I have time to, you know, and this, I had so many things to do.
Well, that's so fascinating to think about how what we take in impacts us and what our thoughts might be if we didn't take anything outside in.
It really is. Yeah. And like, if I were to do it today, like there are podcasts I listen to all the time. There's like, you know, and different times of the day, I take in different types of media, you know, like in the morning, my goal is to laugh out loud as much as possible every day.
And I
know there's something physiological going on there. So I always watch a Seinfeld episode while I'm eating my breakfast.
Oh.
And I'm guaranteed, well, Seinfeld or Office or something I know is going to make me laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. And it's just, anyway, if I,
that's so cool.
Yeah. And trying to make yourself laugh out loud, you know, we're so used to just consume.
Mm-hmm.
So Julia Cameron's concept in this chapter is to, you know, create, you know, even if you're painting a shelf of a bookcase or knitting or whatever, discover what that is. So anyway.
It'd be interesting. So she would ask for you to do it for a full week. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
And every week there was like a different goal that you were trying to accomplish. And there, and throughout the whole thing, this is where I was going with this, is the morning pages. And you have to write 3 pages every morning, and you develop this practice, you develop this habit. And it was what I was already doing, but I didn't call it that. And so that writing practice I had started when I came out of college, I then turned it into the morning pages. And that was a constant throughout the book. You know, you would try and do it every single day. And, you know, adding those up over time, it really improved my writing too, even though I was writing crap, you know, and there was a point in time, you know, it would be like, get to the bottom of the page, get to the bottom of the page. And other times I would be like, I would have a breakthrough halfway through the third page. And then I would keep going because really what was bothering me was, you know, something, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I have come to learn, and and be able to articulate that I really don't know what I'm feeling until I write it down. You know? And yeah, I find it really helps me. So anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like just kind of unpacking your thoughts helps you get to the root of what is going on.
Right. And
Yeah.
in this book too, this is for all kinds of artists. And she's a filmmaker, she's a director, she works with people in LA. They weren't necessarily writers. And like I'm a visual artist too. Something that came out of my work with this book, recognizing that and understanding, but the writing still informed my photography. You know, it's still just getting the stuff out, then I could be free to see what I'm going to see when I pull up my camera and aim at something. And that was her whole thing. You can't really sit down and create any kind of art if you're worried about, you know, how am I going to pay for the carburetor? Just all that mundane stuff that really clutters up your brain and blocks you from truly immersing yourself in the work, whatever the work may be.
I'm really, Claire, I wrote down one of the things that you said that, you know, you really can find out how you are feeling once you write it down. Was that an early on discovery for you,
Yes.
like the power of that, or
Yeah.
is that more recent,
Yeah,
early
I
on?
articulated it to a group of kids before the pandemic. And, you know, it's interesting you asked that. It's like, yes, I knew that. I'm not sure if I always would have said it that way. And then when I was saying it, and it was, you know, a field trip kind of situation, and the teacher had given them some writing thing. And I don't know, we were talking about writing prompts. And that's when I, you know, outed myself as I don't know what I'm feeling unless I write it down. Ah.
Yeah.
Julia Cameron definitely helped me with a lot of that kind of thing.
And I was going to say that's so powerful. Like you were saying that you're sharing that with the kids. And when you mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast that you have an entire floor at the library that's dedicated to youth and to kids, and what an incredible message that sends to the community, right? That we're here for you and this is a really safe place. They see you, they recognize you, and how powerful that is for the community, right? Like these aren't kids that are related to you or that you even have in your classroom, but they can absolutely count on you and know that you're a stable adult for them. It's incredible.
Right. Well, all the youth people, that is a big part of our work is, yeah, it's pretty neat. A big part of youth librarianship in general. And to give that to the community is pretty huge.
Yeah. Well, and Claire, when you're talking about how you said, I don't know what my feelings are unless I write them out, I'm thinking of all the times I've tried to figure out what I'm feeling, or I've asked maybe someone else in my life, what are your feelings about this? And I often get like, I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, so I love that this is a cool tool that anybody could try
Yeah.
to kind of figure out and put their finger on what the feelings are. Really
Yeah. And that's
powerful.
why I use those, you know, the kind of, they're like the legal pads, but they're not legal length. They're just a regular, and I buy a three pack of those. And, you know, I started saving them, but really, Cameron's like, just throw them away, burn them. You know, you might want to read them, but really, when you read them, when I read them, there's not a whole lot there that's like, oh, there's my next screenplay or whatever, you know. But it is kind of cool to have a little bit of a record, even if you never look back on it. But the whole point being, this isn't for anybody else but your future self, if you choose to share it with your future self. But just in terms of like freeing yourself from like, what if somebody reads this kind of thing, you know? So get all the bile out and all the stuff that you don't want to even give to your most favorite person that loves you no matter what. There's still stuff sometimes. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Speaking for myself, I've definitely had feelings that I wouldn't necessarily want made public. So
Right.
I like to keep in the
Yes.
privacy of my own mind, but it's hard to get them out. So
Yeah.
writing's a great tool for that. And then just knowing that that's just for me and I may or may not throw it away or.
Right. And then getting back to that quote, invented by the heart to rid itself of what it no longer needs. Whether it's good or bad, I don't need to hang on to it. Right. And so once I've written it down, then it's not governing me. I guess especially for the bad stuff, you know, or the stuff that's unproductive. I shouldn't call it bad, but the things that are going to get in the way of, I don't know, I was going to say mental health. That wasn't really what I meant though. But you know, the things that'll lead to anxiety and depression and those things that you might ruminate about, once you get them down, then you don't have to. And sometimes when you read back, for me anyway, such a big deal. There was so much drama around it. And then when I read back, I'm like, oh my God, I'm glad I let that go. Wow. You know, some of it's just that I think we do. I don't know. For me anyway, I'm a kind of a dramatic person, you know, and I over dramatize things sometimes. So
That's
it does
great.
help to, yeah.
Well, and I
Yeah.
think about journaling and, you know, that there, because I think that that's kind of one of the pieces that we started with, or just writing, that you are just writing, right? And I think we all have, like, I think about when I do my journaling, I so that quote's going to get typed and put on the front of my notebook, because that's not the, if you will, the reason why I've used journaling for to strengthen my mental health. But maybe I should be. I mean, there's no right or wrong way to do it, right? So that's the piece that I love, that thank you for sharing that wonderful approach to
Yeah,
using these
absolutely.
words. Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, we had a mindful journaling class at the library. Gosh, a few months ago, and Nicoya Helm, who's from here in Kansas City, led that class. And so it was a lot of that similar thing. We did a meditation, and then she would give us a prompt, and then we would write. And it was writing for ourselves, not for other people. And similar to you, Claire, I had the experience of, like, I remember being really mad about something when I wrote the first day. And then next week, when we came back to the class, I looked at it and I thought, I haven't thought about that since I wrote it down. You know, I was so mad about it and it was going to ruin my whole day. And then writing it, I was able to just let it go and I never thought about it again. So it did free me up to have space for other thoughts and other work.
And yeah, and just yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was fun going back through this book. I did find a bunch of quotes and stuff. So I'm glad we have it in the library. But people listening to this might want to get their own just so they can highlight and all the dog ear and all those things you don't want to do to a library book.
Oh, right. Don't do that, folks. Is it kind of in a, is it a workbook style where you have places to write?
It
What?
is. She does, like, at the end of every chapter, she will give you questions, or from time to time, there will be a form. Where I'm trying to find one here, where you will like, here's the workaholism quiz. And then there's like 16 questions. I work outside of office hours, seldom, often, never. Now you could do that in your own, you know, notebook, or you would just circle each one of those that throughout that whole quiz is seldom, often, never. And then at the end, you count them up and maybe you're a workaholic.
Maybe.
Not, it's not my problem.
It sounds like one of those quizzes. Did you all do them like in the 16 magazine or in the teen magazine?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. For
But there were
sure.
some in here that are like, fill out the blank. She'll, well, like in recovering a sense of compassion, the tasks at the end, they're all listed out. So you wouldn't write them in the book. And then, but there are some that do have, you know, name your goal. I am. And whatever that goal would be, you would write it in here. So it's sort of workbooky. I do know that after this book was published, oh, here's one, Recovering a Sense of Connection. And the exercise is called Archaeology. As a kid, I missed the chance to blank. As a kid, I lacked blank. As a kid, I could have used blank. And it goes through the whole thing. And I think part of her putting that in there like that too, I think part of some of these exercises is don't think too much about it. Like, just like whatever comes off the top of your head, just pay attention to that. And just, you know, again, don't ruminate on it. Just keep moving. So yeah, there's a lot of cool exercises in here for all kinds of creative stuff to, anyway.
Yeah, I love that this book is about unlocking creativity, and it's not a quote unquote mental health book, right? But it's really applying some strong mental health principles.
It really is. And she relies on, you know, master thinkers from, you know, poetry, philosophy. You know, Rumi's going to be in there somewhere. I just know it. All the great thinkers in Western and Eastern civilization, sort of, kind of. And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is in here, and just all kinds of different people, poets. So I don't know how she wrote this, as far as like she has these quotes and peppers them in the margins. You know, just a lot of really trust in yourself. Your perceptions are often far more accurate than you're willing to believe. Those kinds of things. And it fit right into the context of what she was talking about in that moment. So it's kind of nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm going to be stopping on my way home this afternoon at a bookstore to find
No, I
that.
was just saying, like, I really need this book. Yeah, for a lot of reasons. Yeah. So cool. So
And
cool.
I'm fascinated too, Claire, with what you were saying, like you were doing a book club, if you will, and it almost sounds like you were all safe and okay for a little bit, and then when it got a little bit unsafe, or like our vulnerabilities were going to be
Yeah.
really checked, is when people weren't able to stay connected through the book, which is really interesting.
It was really fascinating. And, you know, I mean, that was great to talk. I mean, we were writers. We always were getting together. We talked about our work, each other's work, other people's work. We are reading all the time. That's what writers do. They probably read more than they write. And they were like, I'm out. So funny. And that my one friend remembered that, you know, it's like, yeah, I kept going in the book, but and I did do that. I remember that week and how it was like a totally different world. So, you know, I went on a trip last summer. I left my Kindle on the first leg of the trip. And when I got to my destination, I was like, we have to stop at Walmart. I need a new Kindle. Like, we're not, I can't even go to bed tonight without my Kindle.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So it was definitely an exercise in deprivation, you know. I'm sure there's, you know, some Eastern meditation process that was happening in my brain there, that just denying myself this one thing freed me to, you know, figure out other things. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
It
that's really
sounds
interesting.
like a great challenge that is the word great for so many reasons.
Right, especially these days. Yeah. You know, it would be so hard to block all those apps and shut stuff down, but
Yeah, it would be. I wonder though, if you did it for a week now, I'm not saying I'm going to do this. I'm not committing right now to doing it. But I'm intrigued by the idea because I think then maybe when you go back to not normal, but go back to taking things in again, does it make you more intentional about what you absorb or not?
Right. And it does, actually. I guess she taught this before she published the book. This was a class that she did in LA with people who were trying to free, and she writes about how angry her students would be at this, that they absolutely cannot do this. So
Well, and maybe we take it in baby, smaller steps. We just do it for a day. Like I think, oh, okay, maybe a day. And then the next month you could stretch it to 2 days or something. Of course, then I'll manipulate it though and do it in a certain on a certain day when life is a little bit easier, right? Like, how would you do it on a work day,
I
And
mean, yeah.
outside of basketball season and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I know my husband and I went to Glacier National Park a few years ago, and the lodge we stayed in had no televisions, and we really did not have internet. And of course, we're in the most beautiful nature I could ever imagine being in. So it wasn't like we intentionally were cutting ourselves off, but we kind of were for a few days, and it was really restorative, I feel like. And we still say that it was our favorite vacation we ever took. And it forced us also to just like talk to people. That we met in the lodge, instead of just being like, that social contract of we don't talk to people in public, we talk to each other and interact in a different way. So yeah, I think I've done a mini version of it, but not intentionally.
Yeah, that's
So
great.
that's fascinating.
Yeah, very cool.
As we wrap things up, Claire, we want to thank you for being here. But we ask all of our guests, as of today, right now, what's your favorite word?
Well, the first word that came to mind was kindness. So if I had to think about it right then and there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Perfect. And are there any other resources or connections in the community that you want our listeners to know about?
I know you asked me for this and I didn't really come up with anything and I apologize. You know, getting out in nature is a huge piece of my mental health practice. And All Trails is an app that can help you find places to go walking. I know there's also like a hiking group that's on Facebook that I know a few people that have joined that and have reported back to me that it's been really nice for them to help them to meet people in the community who are also interested. Like this past weekend, they met up at the Botanical Gardens in Overland Park. So that All Trails app is really helpful to find things near you. And then also you'll find people on there who use it as a social piece. Like they'll talk about the trail, their experience on the trail. So for people who want to get outside but don't know where to go, that's a really great place to start.
That is a really good app. And the other thing I like about that, just in thinking, like if you have some mobility issues, the app does a really good job of telling you like how long it is, what the elevation is, if it's wheelchair accessible, things like that.
Right. Easy, hard too. Yeah. If you're going to need hiking boots because the rocks are sharp or whatever. Yeah. Getting outside, I think, is super important.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Claire, you have just been the most wonderful guest and I knew you would be. And I'm so happy that you joined us today.
Thank you.
And we will make sure to share some of these resources in the show notes. And I'm going to put the AMP video in because it makes me so happy.
It is. You know, that was something I wanted to say too. And I don't know if you want to put this, I mean, we've already said our goodbyes, but the thing about Julia Cameron that helped me, because I thought I had to be an adult. She helped me to realize that, you know, play is so important. And that's what I was trying to do in those videos too. And I got the nicest comment from one of the librarians here. She sent me a text that she had shared my work with her nephew, and that what was really helpful to them, and her nephew's mother is an engineer or something, that demonstrating to the kids that it's okay to make a mistake, that, you know, that really it's more about the process than the product. That was something I really learned from Julia Cameron too. You asked me if I had anything more to add. And
well, like, it's okay that it came perfect. Now. That's perfect timing. And that's so true. True. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be perfect. And yeah, if the ants, all of a sudden I'm all itchy again.
Sorry. But yeah, and like science really does teach you, the most of the time experiments fail, right? Most of the time. But they get you one step closer to the time it might work.
Exactly.
You know? So yeah. So oh, I love that. Oh,
so have
thanks
fun.
So much for adding that. No, I'm glad we have, I'm glad you shared that. Okay, well, Sandra, you want to take it?
Yes, sure. So as Jenny said, we have the resources available at the Kansas City Library. You can check things out at kclibrary.org and the jfskc.org website for additional programming and the rest of our shows. And until next time, we challenge you to choose words that matter. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of Power of Words.
This episode is produced by the Kansas City Public Library and Jewish Family Services of Greater Kansas City with support from AmeriCorps.
We encourage you to explore our health resources and services available in the show notes.
And follow or subscribe for new episodes wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.